Okay, we're back to Queen Kunti's prayers. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 35. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bi shravana smarana hani krishyan iti chaitana. Okay, everybody got to make sure they mute their phone. And yet others say that you appeared for the sake of rejuvenating the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshiping. And so in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs may take advantage and gain liberation. Purport. So please listen carefully, because I know sometimes when you just read, it takes a little bit more effort. In Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that he appears in every millennium just to reestablish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion, as is the fashion for certain ambitious persons. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority and thus render service unto him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service because he is constitutionally made for that purpose. The only function of the living being is to render service to the Lord. The Lord is great, and living beings are subordinate to him. Therefore, the duty of the living being is just to serve him only. Unfortunately, the illusion living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. This desire is called avidya or nescience. And out of such desires, the living being makes different plans for material enjoyment centered about a perverted sex life. He therefore becomes entangled in the chain of birth and death by transmigrating into different bodies on different planets under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Unless one is beyond the boundary of this nescience, one cannot get free from the threefold miseries of material life. That is the law of nature. The Lord, however, out of his causeless mercy, because he is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect, appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping, praying, cooperating, and surrendering unto him. Adoption of all the above-mentioned items, or any one of them, can help a conditioned soul get out of the tangle of nescience and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living being illusioned by the external energy. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Gana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayebhya patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Well, greetings from Vrindavan. Just give you a little background here. You know, it's the winter. Actually, my next Monday morning greeting will be called Winter in Vrindavan. Krishna says in the Gita, in the 10th chapter, of seasons, I am Magha Shirsha, or it's actually, this is the, please mute your phone, please. This is that season. I particularly like it. You know, the pilgrims come, and, you know, for Kartik, and after that, for the retreats, and they bring an intensity of devotion, but also there's a passion in commercialism. And around Christmas, people will start coming again. So it's kind of a quiet time. And I actually got to go on a very nice parikram to Barsana and see some new places. I went to Chitrasoli. In Barsana, the Astika Sakis, all the 8 prime gopis, have their little villages. And what a beautiful temple. And to see the sadhus, and walking through the village of people smiling and simple Radhe, Radhe. And it's kind of revelation because these people live so simply, but they have something deep in the heart. And it's such an important thing to kind of see and realize that happiness is not things, it's how you feel. And how you feel is not necessarily dependent on the amount of things you have. And we can actually see that. You know, we actually can see that when we go to these places. And then I went to this one ashram that the person who was taking of someone, one Indian I know, kind of knew the place. Please mute your phone. And we went into that ashram, and the people were falling over each other to serve us. I love the culture, the real Vaishnav culture. And remember, what a culture of a place is not what you write in your mission statement. It's how people feel when they come in. And they were just falling over each other to honor and glorify. And then they offered us prasadam, which was ambrosial. And I watched as people came in and out of the ashram. And it wasn't just me. It was every person that came in imbibed that kind of mood. It was like a page out of Jiva Dharma. Everybody in the ashram imbibed that mood. And the people that are there, the level of service, and that's really the key to spirituality and Vaishnavism, that you think of others before yourself. And in this dog-eat-dog world, it's so hard to, you know, kind of keep that consciousness. But to see when, you know, sadhus, real sadhus that live simply, and really it was almost embarrassing for me. And then it culminated. So I took prasadam, and then I washed up. And then actually the mahant of this place, he's kind of a famous sadhu in Vrindavan. And he starts his chanting at 5:30 in the morning. And it ends at about 2:30. And he's chanting the whole time. And he's done this for years and years and years and years. So he heard that I was there, And he called me in and, looked at me. He was chanting in this small room, and he looked at me and he said, it's such an honor to meet you. And then, we talked some Krishna Katha, some really nice things were exchanged. Then after that, I took prasadam. I know you like to hear about Vrindavan, and then I'll get to the verse. And then after I took prasadam, I took prasadam, and then I washed up, and I was about to leave, and that sadhu, I guess he had just, by now, had finished his chanting. He came out of the room, his room, and came out to where I was leaving, and he had a little, a pashima, I guess that's how you call it, chadar. And he took it out of the bag and he unfolded and he threw it over me as a gift. And then we embraced. And, I just think Vaishnav culture is just so important. The guest is a Titi Bhagavan, the guest is God. Why is the guest God? Because with the things we possess, and to shift that consciousness, a guest comes, and then you see the world in terms of his desires, and it kind of loosens that kind of material consciousness. So it was just so nice to be with such sadhus. So the winter is nice. A few people here. I give class every afternoon. I have my bhajan place where I sit. Another realization I had that was that when people who are pure are kind to you and merciful, which means more than you deserve. I certainly, among such elevated souls living in Braj, I didn't feel I deserved the honor that they were giving me. The person I was with, he told something about me that I preach in New York, blah, 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 something. But I didn't feel that I deserved the honor that they were giving me. And I saw what that does in the consciousness. When you feel you don't deserve things, you are reflecting on your lack of qualification to get it. And it's a very good impetus to invoke humility. And therefore I left so happy. The humble position is the one where the humble position in response to love, which is the only place where you can feel love, is really a very happy position. It really opens your heart, and that's where the happiness is. So, it's nice occasionally going out, although I hardly leave my room. And now some guests, Sri Rupa has come. I'll go see her after the class and save her Priya. So we're in Kunti's prayers. And just a little background. She's seen that her nephew is God because he entered into the womb. He entered into the womb of Uttara. So he's actually seen. And that puts her in two minds. Because one, she's a senior to Krishna, and the mood of love of a senior to a subordinate is, I am your maintainer. That's the motherly love. So she has that relationship. She's Krishna's aunt. She's the sister of Krishna's father. But the love of a servant to a master is different. It's called prabhutigyan, knowledge of your supremacy. So motherly love is knowledge of my supremacy, and the servitude love is knowledge of your supremacy. But it's so overwhelming that she's offering these beautiful prayers, acknowledging Krishna's position, and is reflecting that Krishna appears in this world to serve the purpose of this world. So the theme, I always mention this point, that a theme is a concept that unifies a greater body, usually in a book, but in anything, in a project, that is apparently contradictory. Like the Bhagavatam, you have the Ras Lila, you have the kings, you have time calculated from the atom. So you have creation, post-creation. If they appear almost contradictory, unless you know the theme. And the theme of the Bhagavatam is Ete Chamsa Kalap Pumsa Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, that the original manifestation of God is Krishna. And then everything is related to that. So I always make the point, in the world, there's so many things that are happening. There's religion, there's irreligion. There's so many things that are happening. There's good karma, there's bad karma. But there's a unifying principle in the world between everything good that happens and everything bad that happens. And the unifying principle is that everything is made to bring you closer to Krishna. That's why I think Prabhupada said about astrology is that, you know, the devotee's chart changes, not so much what happens to the devotee, but the non-dual way in which the devotee experiences it. Because good or bad is all of a sudden are unified in that it's meant to bring us back to God. So we have a material destiny and a spiritual destiny. The material destiny is the spiritual destiny, but only a devotee can see it as the spiritual destiny. Because everything that comes to us is for us, good or bad. So the unifying principle of this world is liberation. It's really meant to bring you closer to Krishna. And therefore, we have to get over the misconception that good means nice. It's all good, but it's not all nice. Because it has to do with rectifying consciousness and giving us realizations. It's so difficult. It's so difficult to change a person without experiences. But part of the change of the people is giving them knowledge. I was talking about that in my class today, that if I look at my life and I'm in New York, and I wander around New York City, and I see all the people. There's one thing that especially in the modern world, is people don't have knowledge. Just like Sanatana Goswami, he was so learned. We can't imagine how learned he was. He knew Sanskrit, Persian, the book. When he came to Lord Chaitanya, he said, "People call me a learned man, but I don't know where I'm came from. I don't know who I am, and I don't know where I'm going." So knowledge is so important. And here, Queen Kunti is trying to reconcile in her prayers. It's actually a glorification, but it's a glorification by clarifying some misconception about God, that although God is born, how can he be God? Because God is unborn. And our experience of birth, which we impose in a prejudicial way on Krishna's birth. We don't judge Krishna's birth for what it is, but we judge it from what we experienced as birth. But his birth is completely different. He's not forced by karma. He comes for a reason. So Kunti here, to give us understanding of Krishna, is going to give us the reason. There's a reason he comes. And it's not that he's forced by karma like everyone else. He has some purpose. And this is so important in spiritual life. The basis of spiritual understanding is called sambandhagyan, or metaphysical knowledge, a proper understanding, because without a proper understanding of Krishna, there's no reason you will worship him. If you think that Krishna is material, you think that we're Krishna or we're God. So unless you understand Krishna, then you won't worship him. This is one of the key factors in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita. It says, "Aham sarvasya prabhavo." I say this many times, but tas sarvam pravartate iti bhutva bhajat buddha bhava samad. I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. So if unless you have a proper understanding of Krishna, you won't act properly in relationship to Krishna, which is significant because who we are is in relationship to Krishna. That is our whole identity. We can't be congruent with our nature unless we understand Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada, he once said that this is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. I heard Brahmananda Prabhu say that this is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. And it says, "Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakvadeham puna janma naitimam." One who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and appearance, chakvadeham puna, when he leaves the world, chakvadeham puna, no birth again. Wow. We have to be serious. We have to be serious. We don't want to be born again. One of my impetuses in spiritual life is I don't want to go to PS 200 in Brooklyn again. And thinking, and we can think about what was our life like in ignorance, how dangerous it was. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no spiritual knowledge. I had no understanding. I had no training. I had no culture. I'm left on my own to figure it out. And by the mercy of Prabhupada, I got connected to a bona fide sampradaya with knowledge on how to live. How fortunate is that? Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai. How merciful is that? And how important it is to take advantage of that, so that we understand Krishna, and therefore we understand who we are, and we don't have to take birth again. It's serious business. It's serious business, and that's why the Bhagavatam is so important. Because if you don't refresh your mind with the proper understanding, that understanding will recede in your consciousness. And if it recedes in your consciousness, it will recede in how you live your life. It's a very, very subtle science. We're reading in Chaitanya Bhagavat, very interesting point, that when Lord Chaitanya comes back from Gaya, he's transformed, but he's not ordinarily transformed. He has Mahabhav. The essence of the Dini Shakti is Krishna Prem. When Krishna Prem is heightened to the highest degree, it's Mahabhav. Radharani is Mahabhav Sarup. She's a form of that. But it's Mahabhav. It's the most intense emotion. So that's the only thing in his consciousness. And he's so transformed that he has no other interest in life except Krishna and chanting Krishna's name. And actually, this is the trajectory that we have to go on. This has to be our goal. We can't artificially renounce our desires. We have to work through them. But what is our goal? Yesham twantakatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta abhijanti mam jara. That after yesham twantakatam unlimited sinful activities, yesham. That when you become purified, you'll actually be qualified to sit peacefully and meditate on the holy name and feel that energy between God, Krishna, manifest in the holy name and your soul, and purify your consciousness. Vijanti mam dridha means with determination, be able to do the worship. So Lord Chaitanya was at this platform, and he had no other interest. So when he was teaching Sanskrit, he was no longer teaching Panini, the regular grammar, but he was teaching a grammar that he composed called Harinam Amrita Vyakaran. Vyakaran means the grammar of Krishna's name, so that every grammatical rule, it's quite amazing, because I had a little familiarity with it, is a name and pastime of Krishna. But also he went even deeper. He understood that what's the purpose of the alphabet? What's the purpose of the combination of letters? What's the purpose of knowledge? Vedaischa sarveham eva vedyo vedanta vid vedavid. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. The purpose of all of it is eternal. It's not temporary. Our purposes in this life are temporary, but there's an eternal goal. And it's to be situated in our loving relationship with Krishna. And he understood that that's the purpose of the grammar. That's the purpose of the knowledge. But his students went to his guru, Gangadhar Pandit, and told him, what is this that he's doing? We want to learn Sanskrit, and then He's explaining these meanings. Anyway, that's another story, but the point is this is the ultimate goal. And of course, we can't artificially attain that goal. We have our own desires. But it's a fine line, because as the desires come out from our hearts, if we inappropriately act on them, they become reinforced and come out again in a stronger way. So when look what happens when one leads a life of Dharma under the guidance of Guru and Krishna. When you live a life of Dharma, then when desires come out, you do one or two things with them. You either renounce them or you purify them. And mostly what happens when you're focused on your duties, on your responsibilities, on your practices, doesn't mean renounce the world. When you're doing what's right, according to the Dharma, then what happens is when these desires come out, they are neglected. And when they're neglected, they're gone. And as they're coming out, and as you're living a life dedicated to a religious life, a spiritual life, a life of Dharma, and you're living your life like that, then as these desires come out, they're gone. So your life is a purge. It's a purification of the things that are covering your eternal nature of as a servant of Krishna. So as they come out and we neglect them, and what does tapasya mean? I read the nicest definition of tapasya. Tapasya is despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, we engage in our duties, we engage in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't mean to torture yourself. It means to live a life of Dharma, of what's the correct things to do. And then you become light, you purify your heart. And then as you become older, you become more and more qualified to sit down and chant the holy name. Tara Madhye Sarva Shreshte Nama Sankirtan Nira Aparade Poya Paya Premina. Of all the practices of devotional service, chanting the holy name is the best. And if one can do it without offense, then one can get love of Godhead. And what can be another goal besides love? There can't be another goal. Even according to our own analysis, the goal is happiness, and happiness is love. And the highest love is to love God, because it's a universal love. Real love of God is universal, because God is Advayam Gyan. He's consciousness, which is non-dual, which means nothing is outside of God's existence. And he doesn't have the defect of impersonality. So Kunti now is analyzing that Krishna is God, but he's appeared as Vasudev, the son of Vasudev, Devaki Nandana, the son of Devaki. And he said, so why are you coming? Because people who come here are forced to come here, but why do you come? And he says, to rejuvenate the process of devotional service based on chanting and hearing, so that people will be freed from suffering. And suffering is simply a symptom of going against nature. And what is our nature? We're devotees. right? One of my favorite statements in the Gita and Prabhupada's purport, the perfectional state of the living entity is called a devotee. So Krishna appears to establish religious principles, but specifically he comes to inspire chanting and hearing, which is Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Shuddha Purno Nityamuktam, Namano Nami Bhimitvam. That there's no difference between Krishna and his name. So he comes to establish. And to inspire our nature, which is service, which is our duty. It's our function. It's our dharma. It's our essence. That's who we are. We're part of God. We're meant for his service. But the nature here is people are in ignorance of that. And they have the conception that they're the center, and the illusion entangles them in this world. And they get entangled in the threefold miseries of life. And then Krishna comes for the theme. It's a purpose. It's for liberation. So he comes and rejuvenates religion, rejuvenates chanting and hearing. It's a codicil here. I guess it's a codicil there. Well, that's what I have today to give. I also have to go and meet Seva Priya and Sri Rupa, but if anyone has any questions, we can have questions.
Yes, Maharaj, what's the name of the sadhu who gave you the chadra?
Oh, I have to find out what his name is. I don't remember his name. I'll get back to you on that. I don't know if he was like really famous, but around Barsana, my friend said he's kind of renowned, but he's a simple sadhu. I don't remember. I'll find out, let you know. Okay, thank you, Henry. Anybody else? Okay, would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
A lovely class. Thank you.
Hi, Bo. You know, my book is going to come out on Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
the Kirtan Sutras. The cover done by Joe Cayley is the best I've seen. It's really amazing. When you see it, I showed it to some people. And it really looks good. So I would say for a sannyasi, the closest thing to giving birth to a child is publishing a book. because there's so much labor, you know, but when it takes birth, there's so much joy. So I'm
so
pretty excited. Yeah, I know. And I'm also nervous what condition it'll come out, you know, whether, you know, how they'll print it or but they sent me a blueprint of it, which completely confused me because because it would look like the cheapest paper in the world, but they said it was just a blueprint and there were pages on it missing. They said, well, that's no problem, you know. But I have one. I'm publishing it in town, and I'm just going to share with you guys an interesting, mind-blowing fact. The publisher of my book, kind of the publisher, I mean, he's storing it, he's going and printing it, and he's doing this, and I know them for like 35, 40 years. So there's a little shop, and his son's getting married. So they invited me to the wedding, and I told them, I will go to the wedding. I never go to weddings, but I'll go on one condition, that you promise me that that book will be ready before I go to Mayapur. And he said, well, I can't do it now because of the wedding, but after the wedding. I said, but after the wedding is already the 15th of December. He said, don't worry, I'll get it done. So, but here's the interesting fact. So I told him, but if I'm going to the wedding, I go to bed early. It says it's 7 o'clock. I'll stop for an hour and then I'll go back. So I drove to Mathura, and I hadn't been there in a while, and Indradyumna Swami's assistant, he came with me. And I couldn't believe it. Went to like this newly paved road and there's huge hotels. It didn't even look like Mathura, you know, and then this huge hall, you know, with 50. But when I came, I was the only one there. Because who comes on time? So I was the only one there. So I took a picture of myself there and then I left. And then I sent him a picture that I was there. But here's the thing. He told me he spent $140,000 on the wedding.
Oh,
and that is only half because the brides spend as much. So these people in these little shops, they spend $250,000 on a wedding. And they don't spend for anything else in their life. But somehow or other, and I've heard this before from another, his brother's daughter got married, and they told me they spent $250,000. The dress for the, anyway, but anyway, my book is coming out, and he went to Madura, and he went to Delhi, and the one place, the best printer, couldn't do it till January 7th, but, you know, he went to another printer who's pretty renowned, so we'll see that. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, it's Betty.
Okay, Betty, we'll see you soon. Okay.
Yes, I'm looking forward.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, Jamuna Jaya.
Who is it? Oh, Jamuna Jaya.
Jamuna Jaya, Maharaj.
Haribo. I got your letter about in this place. We'll discuss it. We'll figure it out.
Okay,
anybody
Maharaj else?
Hare Krishna,
Maharaj. Shiny tie. Okay, I'm gonna see your tamal soon. I better go pretty soon. Okay. They were picked up by our driver Gopal. They called me. Okay. Gail, Hare Krishna. Who else? Anybody else?
Haribo Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Leela.
Who is it?
It's Leela, Lucy.
Oh, did you get my letter?
I don't think so.
Oh, I wrote you a nice letter. Let me send it again.
Okay, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
No, it's so nice to hear from you, but I wrote you a nice letter when you wrote me the information about initiation and everything. Okay, let me go find it. Okay. I was wondering, I didn't hear back. So sometimes, you know, you don't finish a letter and you think you send it or something, but I thought I sent it. I did send it on October 11th.
Wow. Okay.
I'll send it to you again.
Okay.
Is your email still?
Yeah, it's the same.
Okay. Well, tell me if you got it. I sent it on October 11th.
Okay. Arrivo. I'll look for it.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Jai Kishori.
Okay. Well, it's pretty much set. We'll have the first program at your place. I'm excited. I'll give you the information.
I'm so excited.
Okay. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Eugenio and Gloria.
Nice to hear from you. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Gumaraj, this is Kishori Radha.
And Tota Gopina.
Okay. See you soon. Puri Yatra is lining up nice. A lot of nice people coming. Really going to be fun. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Lal Govinda.
And Brother Sundari Radha.
You're almost there, Brother Sundari Radha, right? It's just weeks away, right?
I leave not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. You're going to have the time of your life. Guaranteed.
I hope so.
No, guaranteed. You're going to be mind blown how beautiful it is there in that Echo Village.
Yeah.
And then when you come to Vrindavan with Raghunath, it's going to be great. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Oh, okay. Then we'll end now. Okay. There you go.